Well, that's a cheery batch of readings. It's amazing anyone ever comes back for a second Sunday. Summer's tough. I'll be honest. I just think emotionally they tuck this tough stuff into the church year when the weather is the nicest. Because you can leave here and go to the lake and more or less forget what you've just heard. Because this is pretty pointed. And in fact, I can see there's some preachers and preaching types who kind of wink and laugh at the person who actually has to preach on this, or they at least lean back in the pew and kind of wince. This is tough. This is a tough reading. It's pointed at each one of us individually. It's certainly pointed to us as a community of people. It's pointed at us as a nation. And so, because this is the gift to us from God, we believe that's how God works providentially through the church year, is that we don't get to dodge the readings. Right? This is what we've got, and we're to receive it as a gift. So, bear with me. I've mentioned before in here that I like to do dishes. I love it. It's a catharsis. It's one of the few things I do in my life where I can see measurable progress. Right? You have dirty dishes, and then they become clean dishes. And theoretically, though I have a teenager in the house, there's a beginning and an end. I love doing dishes. It puts me at ease because I get to get my hands dirty. I get to work. I get to move from point A to point B. And that's very satisfying. In addition to that, I love to do the dishes because it is one of the few places in my household where when it's time to do dishes, I am apt to be the only person in the room. Right? It's crickets. So it's peaceful, it's quiet, it's just me doing one of my very favorite things. No disruption. Most of us have that room in a house. For me, it's the kitchen right after we've eaten. I love that peace. I love getting to have time and space for myself. I love getting to just kind of have an agreement in the house that this is how this is going to work out, right? I love it. And that peace, I'll be honest, as much as I love it, it does come with a companion. And the companion to that peace is what I could best categorize as resentment. We know this, right? With the good comes the bad. I love the peace and quiet, but once in a while, the resentment shows up. And I do think sometimes, where is everybody? Where'd they all go? Why doesn't anyone show up to help me? And then, of course, I realize, laughing at myself, I have clearly sent the signal that this is my space. Over the years, have sent the signal, I really would prefer you all be out of here because this is my space. Right, so it's not their fault. It's not my fault. Altogether, we've got a family system that has negotiated this peaceful settlement in the kitchen post-meal dish time. And resentment is a reality of that once in a while. Now, once in a while, the resentment will get the better of me. And the resentment will make me do something foolish. And by that I mean that once in a while, the resentment will move from my gut up into my heart and then very quickly to my mouth. And I will say something that I regret. Like, hey, where is everybody? Who's going to help with the dishes today? To which I can guarantee my two boys will react because I have violated the peace agreement in the house. I have said something that we've agreed we won't say. I have disrupted the system. right? I've disrupted it. And I got to be honest, I only do that very seldom now because I have learned that it is better to live with the peaceful resentment than to voice my demands for justice. I have learned that. It is simply not worth it to get into it with my boys about doing the dishes. It's not. It's painful, and it gives me an instant headache. So back we go to the settlements. We'll agree that the way this is going to work, the way it's going to be most peaceful, is that I will bear the resentment of doing the dishes. Now, over the course of a lifetime, perhaps others have done this. Perhaps others have come to some capacity of figuring out what your own pain threshold is around naming the truth, right? What pain are you willing to bear for speaking truth to power or speaking justice into the midst of injustice? You got to pick your own sense of pain threshold for whether you're really willing to upset the peaceful negotiation that we've set for ourselves, whether be it families or friends or societies or faith communities. You have to decide, are you going to be the one who upsets the apple cart? Because it's costly to do that. I, because I'm naturally conflict avoidant, have agreed peace above all else is my guiding motto. Peace above all else. And I'm going to be honest, that is my motto makes this morning's readings particularly challenging because it is speaking right at me. Because this morning we hear Jesus, who is Lord, who I'm supposed to listen to, we hear him saying something to me like, Paul, you got it all wrong. That is no way to live. That is not the abundant life that I have brought for you, nor for the world in which you live. It is important that you risk upsetting the apple cart. It is important that you risk naming your demands for justice in the midst of a negotiated peace. And you need to know that it's costly. And not just costly in some ideological sense, it will be costly to you in the most intimate sense. It will damage relationships, potentially. It will certainly force the renegotiation of relationships. Fathers against sons, that seems to happen naturally anyways. Mothers against daughters, right? You understand the image that he set here, that this isn't just an ideological battle that's in the headlines. This follows us home when we choose justice over a negotiated peace that is unjust. It follows us home. And it's important to know that because if we're the kind of people like me, who would just assume settle for peace with quiet, burning resentment, the gospel is tough. And we're called to live into it. We can't dodge it, even though it's a beautiful summer day, and we're apt to forget everything I say in the next 2 minutes. We can't dodge it. This is a clarion call to us to pay attention to our hearts and our minds, to pay attention to how we've been shaped in all these subtle ways, to recognize or not recognize what God's up to in the world around us. We know that Jesus shows up into the midst of empire, where there's a negotiated peace, which we know to be brutal for the vast majority of citizens. That's the negotiated peace Jesus shows up to. That is the backdrop. The empire, that is the backdrop against which Jesus shows up and advocates for a particular people who have seasons of their life together where once in a while someone shows up and upsets the apple cart. They name the burning resentment within them. And the whole community pays for it. Rebellion and counterinsurgency. That's the nature of it. And so people decide on a regular basis. Let's be honest. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to want more? Is it worth it to demand more? Or is it better to settle for an unjust peace? Where are you at on that? Where's your heart at on that? Do you have the emotional capacity to risk demanding justice that will upset the apple cart? We're clearly, as a society, in the midst of massive social upheaval. And we get to ask ourselves as people of faith, bearers of gospel and light and good news into that reality around us, we get to ask ourselves, where's God in that? And if you're like me and you assume that the goal of life is peace at all costs and above all else, then you will see what's happening in the world around us as some great distancing from God. God has either withdrawn, God's punishing us, God is absent. If your perception is that conflict must surely mean the absence of peace and the absence of God, you might wonder, are we headed the wrong direction? You might wonder that. And, of course, there's a narrative, quite popular, unfortunately, right now in our society, that says, in fact, we're headed the wrong way. What we need to do is we need to put the cap on rebellion. We need to put the cap on demands for justice. And we need to back up to way in the past when everything was better and the lid was on and people kept their mouths shut about the injustice they experience on a daily basis. Could we go back to our previous negotiated peace? Could we agree to do that? That worldview is getting a lot of votes. It scares me to death, but that's out there. That's a worldview that's out there. It's got a faith of sorts to back it up. There's another worldview, however, that suggests that when the apple cart is disrupted, that when demands for justice are loudest, when that burning resentment is finally given voice and it disrupts that negotiated peace that has been so bad for so many, we're not further from God, but God is right smack in the middle of it. God is in it. Not only that, God is begging us to be in it. Not to be afraid of it. Not to wonder if God could ever possibly redeem this or be part of this, because we know God's in it. That is our faith, that God is in that. If we're paying attention to Jesus, who shows up and do the same thing. And we've got a couple options about how we're going to respond to that. We could say, look, this is bad for all of us. It's hurting everybody. Our morale is down. Couldn't the people who are so frustrated with the injustice of all these years just be quiet again so we can go back to the way it was? We could do that. Or we could say, we're going to be part of giving voice to that. We could join God in that. But it depends on our worldview. It depends on our theology and how we understand the nature and the will of God. It depends on whether we've got the capacity to discern what God's up to in the world around us, and more specifically, whether we can discern that God is in the social disruption today. And I just have to say it, today's gospel, as much of a challenge as it is to me personally, I do believe it is a challenge to us collectively to believe that God is in the disruption. Do we believe that? Can we believe that? I do too. I don't think we're further from God. I find this absolutely compelling. Finally, an invitation to get into the heart and mind of God and join it. Finally, an opportunity for us to say what we are about. We don't have to wonder anymore, and we certainly aren't going to shrink away from it. Radical disruption. The demand for justice in the midst of a negotiated peace. And the question for us is this. Will we have the eyes to see it? Will we have the heart and the mind to discern it? Will we have the will and the wherewithal to join it? That is the question for us today and every day. Amen.